How many flavors of Coke do you think there are? What? 10? 5? Too many. So nobody knows? You don't drink it?
No.
How many? You don't care? If I was a mean priest, I could dance. There it is. So nobody wants to guess? 20? 40? How about if I told you there are 60 flavors of Coca-Cola? Oh. How many were there when you grew up?
One.
Those of you that are a little bit younger might say there were two. There was classic Coke and there was new Coke, right? But we have Coca-Cola. Then we had cherry Coke. These are in order of popularity. Vanilla Coke. Coke Zero, not to be confused with Diet Coke, which I don't understand the difference, but Coke Zero. Mexican Coke.
That's the real stuff.
The real stuff. Yeah. You can buy it at Meijer in the ethnic aisle. Coke Lime. Coca-Cola Black Cherry. Coca-Cola Black Cherry with vanilla. Coca-Cola Raspberry. Coca-Cola with lemon. Coca-Cola Orange. Diet Coke, not to be confused with Coke Zero. Coke Cherry Zero. Coca-Cola Cinnamon. Coca-Cola Light. Diet Coke Fiesta Cherry. Diet Coke Strawberry Guava. Diet Coke with cherry. Diet Coke Zesty Blood Orange. Coca-Cola No Sugar, not to be confused with Coca-Cola Zero or Coca-Cola Diet. Diet Coke Twisted Mango. Caffeine-free Coca-Cola. Coke Zero Lime. Here's one you probably never heard. Coca-Cola Black. Another one. Coca-Cola Winter Spiced Cranberry. New Coca-Cola. Diet Coke Lime. Diet Coke Ginger Lime. That takes us through the first 29. Wow. Unbelievable, huh? It used to be you could just say, give me a Coke. And then the company came up with that diet, or not diet, that new flavor of Coke a few years ago, which bombed. And so then we went to New Coke and Classic Coke, and now all these others. Huh. And you know what else? Coke not only has all these different flavors, but Coca-Cola sells other drinks now. Did you know that? They own a water company. They own an orange juice company. They own, what they call it? Sports drink company. That's what we athletes drink. There are so many different forms of drinks made by Coca-Cola and all these flavors. Crazy. Some of these flavors they test throughout the world. Some are just in America. Some are in the South. Some are in Asia. But they do all these different flavors. Why? Because they want to remain relevant. They don't want to be complacent. They were afraid that if they stayed with just Coca-Cola, they would lose market share. And so they decided they couldn't remain complacent. They needed to look for new directions. Whether it was new flavors or whether it was new items. They didn't want to become too complacent and fall behind. Well, Coca-Cola is going to teach us something about Advent this year. I had this great thought that we should have replaced these four candles with four cans of Coke. Because that's what we're going to talk about this one, or Advent. We're going to talk about complacency. How easy it is to just stay where you are. Imagine the executives in Coke's offices. They were successful. They were making a lot of money. And then somebody said, let's twist the formula. A lot of people would have said, why? We got a good thing. Let's just stick with it. And others wanted to say, yeah, let's change it. Let's make it so it can attract new people to drink. And then when it failed, those that wanted to try something new had said, well, maybe we shouldn't have. But let's try another flavor. Complacent isn't in the dictionary at Coca-Cola. They want to keep trying and trying and trying to get more customers. But we're not trying to get new customers. But we have to try to come to know our Lord in a better way. And we are called not to be complacent. We have to be open to God coming into our midst. We can't be afraid, and we can't be satisfied with what we simply have. We have to be open. In the gospel we hear today, Luke says, there's going to be great signs in the sky, and the earth is going to shake and tremble. But you need to be prepared. He's saying that to all of us. We need to be prepared for this to happen. We need to have a deep enough faith to trust that after all this bad stuff, God's going to be there. And we need to be open. First, we need to be strong enough. The gospel says, stand tall, lift your head. Don't let these things frighten or intimidate you. Trust in God. Let your faith sustain you. And that's the message for us. We can't be satisfied just where we are. We need to be open to God's mercy and love and guidance and to see things in a new way. We need to take a chance. But many of us, not so much. We'd be those people in the Coke boardroom that say, let's not touch a good thing. I don't want to touch my faith. Because, you know, Sister Mary Jesus of the Child Jesus told me in second grade, you're never supposed to challenge the church. Don't ever challenge your beliefs. And you know what? We didn't listen to anything else Sister said, but somehow we held on to that. And we refuse to question. We refuse to ask questions. We refuse to try something new because it's better being complacent. But it's not. The scriptures say, open up. Be open to the Holy Spirit. Be open to this coming of God in your midst. And if you only think like you think now, if you're only prepared like you're prepared now, you're going to miss the Messiah. We're going to miss God coming into our midst. We can't be complacent. We need to experience new things. We need to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. My presentation during Advent on Monday nights in a couple of weeks, my Lent series, is going to be listening to the Holy Spirit. And you know what? Doesn't that sound holy? Doesn't that sound nice? It does. But it's scary as all get out to listen to the Holy Spirit. What if the Holy Spirit calls me in a new direction? What if the Holy Spirit leads me down a new path? What if the Holy Spirit calls me to think in a new way? Are we going to have the faith to stand up and raise our heads and follow where the Spirit calls us? So what's our example for this? What is our example to not be complacent? It's going to be Our Lady of Guadalupe. Mary is a fine example for us in many things. But Our Lady of Guadalupe in particular is going to be a challenge to us for the next 4 weeks. That's why we have her picture in two places. That's why she surrounds our Advent wreath. Come up afterwards and take a look at her. Read about her this week. Go online. What is Our Lady of Guadalupe all about? Because it's not a story of complacency. And you're going to hear about that. But let's just start with one thing. We're all white. Did you know that? Are there any Hispanics here? Might be Hispanics. But we're primarily white. And you know what we do? We've become complacent. We've made Mary white. Every statue or picture you usually see of Mary, she looks European. Mary wasn't. She had dark skin. She came from the Middle East. And when God presented her to us at Guadalupe in Mexico, she had dark skin. Oh my goodness. She was an Indian with Indian features, an Indian color skin. That's not Mary. That's what people would say. That's not a depiction of Mary. Mary's got white skin like us. No. Our Lady Guadalupe showed us that Mary and God is for everybody. Not just for the white Europeans. But that's the challenge. And that's what we're going to look at her figure. We're going to look at this symbol all during this Advent season. Because there's so many things that should shake us. But many times we look at her and say, oh, it's another virgin. It's another statue of Mary or picture of Mary. But we can't be so complacent. We're missing so much. When I started to reflect on Our Lady of Guadalupe, my mind went back 29 years. When this church was built, I was over at Holy Spirit on Lake Michigan Drive, and we were building a church there. And I remember one night, we had a meeting, because we were trying to do art and environment. Oh, if you ever want to have fun, get on an art and environment committee for building a new church. Oh my goodness, everybody's got opinions. And one night, we announced that we were going to have a meeting about what kind of statue of Mary we were going to have in church. We had 30, 40, 50 women, only women, show up. And they were 60, 70, 80, 90 year olds. And they wanted to make sure we had a proper Mary in that church. Darn it. And I was scared to death. You know what their main desire was for Mary? That the statue of Mary have? Anybody want to guess? Huh? A blue cape? No. Groceries? No. A rosary? No. Huh? Blue eyes? No. You know what these Polish bushes from the west side wanted? Jane Hungry, what did they want?
They wanted
Mary to have breasts. Honest. That's what our two-hour meeting ended up being about. Father, we want to marry with breasts. Really? Really? Look at Mary. Take a look. Turn around behind you. Does that Mary have breasts? No.
Well,
does broken Mary have breasts? No. Should Mary have breasts?
Yes.
Yeah. She had a baby. These old Polish bushes said, if she nursed Jesus, she had breasts. We want to see the breasts. We want to celebrate motherhood. So if you ever go to Holy Spirit, they're not large, but they're there. We had to tell the carver, the wood carver, Mary needs breasts. But who decided what Mary looks like? European men. European celibate men. White skin, blue eyes, and no breasts. We don't want it to be too feminine. Complacency? For all these years, that's how we've seen Mary. That's how we think Mary appears. Well, for 4 weeks, you're going to hear different. For 4 weeks here, you're going to be focusing on Our Lady of Guadalupe and find out, how does this shake our complacency? How does this shake us a little bit? And it's not a bad shaking, folks. It's what we hear in the gospel today. The earth will shake. There will be signs in the skies. We'll be trembling. But we need to stand tall. We need to raise our heads erect to recognize and be ready for when God comes. You know, that's what we're going to do here. We're going to challenge our complacency. Not only in church, in what we say in our homilies, but at our adult ed on Monday nights, we're going to challenge that complacency by saying, how do we listen to the Holy Spirit? We're going to say, how do we prepare truly for the coming of the Lord? And that means not being so darn complacent. And you know who's speaking the most about this? Not me. Not Father Luis. The Pope. The Holy Father. He's saying, stop being complacent, Catholics. He said, listen to the young people. Let them challenge you. Some of the older priests and the older cardinals are saying, this Pope is just what we needed. We hate him. But he punched us in the stomach and he's woken us up. And thank goodness. And the Holy Father says that. We need to look at things in a new way. What other pope has put in showers and bathrooms for the homeless on Vatican property? It's a holy place. Maybe we shouldn't do that. What else has the Pope done? He's put women in positions of authority. Maybe we won't have statues without breasts anymore. Maybe that's a good thing. Excuse me? And the women are in finance, yes. Shouldn't have women in finance. They don't know how to manage their money. Yeah, right. Be real. We need to not be so darn complacent. And so we pray that during these 4 weeks of Advent that we might open our hearts, open our minds, deepen our faith, Learn about Our Lady of Guadalupe. Learn about how she was so different, how she was so challenging. We're not going to be able to cover it all in 4 weeks. I mean, today I only mentioned her skin tone. But there's so much more that God taught us through that apparition. Let us pray that during this Advent season, we can stand tall because we have faith. A faith that's growing. A faith that's alive. Because you know what? Not one of us here in this church knows everything about God. Not one of us has a total understanding and comprehension of God. That means we can all learn more. That means we can all deepen our faith. That means we can all deepen our hope. And most importantly, it means we can deepen our love. So during this Advent, let's not be complacent. During this Advent, let us see where God is leading us. And we know the destination. It's just that we have to journey along the path to the kingdom of heaven.